November. Now it's, I believe Cape Town has enjoyed a heat wave. Is it Cape Town or Gauteng? Right, but I do know that we, even while I was out of the country, it became clear that South Africans do not take the water crisis seriously at all. And I just think that we must stop utilizing water in the manner in which we are. You know, South Africans must be one of the few nations who do have baths, who fill it to the top and then let it out. Fairly clean water as they're bathing daily. It doesn't enter their heads to even take two buckets and put it on the lawn or for a system. And I think we are not taking this matter seriously. It is a very serious matter. In the whole of South Africa, we are getting less than 15% water. That's what makes us a water-scarce country. And guess where it falls? Over less than 30% of the country. But we're acting like we've got water for tomorrow and generations to come. Don't be surprised if your grandchildren have to queue up and wait for water, or like in Switzerland, where beer, Swiss beer, is cheaper than water. Isn't that so, Honourable MacPherson? Now that's where we're going, but we're going there at speed. We're actually in overdrive, and that had better stop. Stop now, and try to think of the future of humanity, and not just ourselves. But having said that, allow me to welcome the Honourable Van Schalkwyk, is it, to our committee. I understand you come with a load of information about you, about your capacity to work, and I thought that was very welcome, because we don't encourage slackers here. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're here. You really, people have said what a hard worker you are, and you're actually one of the few MPs that read their documents. So thank you for coming to the committee. Thank you. I hope you enjoy your stay. Right. The other thing in my opening, Honourable Members, is that apart from very serious personal matters which I had to attend to outside the country, I did take the opportunity to engage with the Queensland Government, one of the people dealing with alcohol, with liquor, and it was quite interesting to hear what they were doing. And one of the things which really interested me was the community impact study, which is conducted. We have environmental impact studies. We have a number of them, financial impact studies. But we don't really have a community impact study. And I think it's something we could do well to look with, certainly Honourable Williams, when you hit it up. We're waiting still. Where am I looking for Ms. Naidu? How far is the DDG with finding parking? Right, so he's on his way, hot on his heels, right. So, Honourable Yesum Kongi?
As we are waiting for the DDG to come, I think the matter that we have raised when you're opening here is very, very, very important. And it impacts also in the work of this committee. Because when we talk about manufacturing, industrialization, the question of water usage becomes an issue. So when we talk about the usage of water in South Africa, it should not necessarily be about the residential usage of water only. How are the industries, the farms, and other big giants are using water in South Africa, in golf courses and everywhere. So I think it's very important that when we take the matter of the seriousness of water, it should not only be about the residential consumption of water. Generally, South Africans do not take care of their water, especially big industries. Thank you.
All right.
Well, there we are. I did think that was of interest. And the other thing of interest, which I saw in the paper yesterday, I believe, is that Studiford, a rather large departmental organization, is a sort of business rescue, which you remember is a piece, we enacted some legislation in which that was incorporated, and I think we must watch that with interest. I'm looking at our researcher, if we can just monitor that issue and perhaps get the information on it. Now, looking at the agenda, we do have minutes, and they are the minutes of how many sets? Four. How many people have we got here? We've got a quorum today. One, two, three, four, five, six, we do. So we could start with the minutes. Could we please have somebody on the... We'll start off with the minutes before the briefing. So can we have someone to propose adoption of the agenda with that amendment? Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable MacPherson. Or did you have an objection?
No, no, no. I don't have an objection. I just will need to leave here at about 12:15.
All right. Now, thank you for briefing us beforehand. So on that note, you seconded.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So the apologies. I have an apology from the Honourable Advocate Alberts, Party Business, the Honourable Jordan Hill Lewis, Party Business, the Honourable Shivambu, Party Business, the Honourable Yesterhazen, he's attending the Committee on Energy, and the Honourable Mantashe, whose mother is extremely ill in hospital, so she's on compassionate leave at the moment. And before I greet the department, let's just get on with our minutes. Remember, I asked if we could move them forward. So on that note, let's take the minutes of the 17th of August. Please check the attendance register against the front page. Right. And your names, the spellings. Wednesday the 17th, page 1. In attendance were many, many people. These are very difficult minutes to be prepared. Did you prepare them, Mr. Madima? Thank you. Page 2. I see we've got everyone and his uncle here. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. These must be the longest minutes you've ever prepared. Page 7. Right, can we have someone to propose adoption? Thank you, Honourable Quirinoff, seconded by the Honourable Mkongi, is that right? Thank you. The minutes of the 18th, Thursday the 18th, please check page 1 against the attendance register. We've got many, many apologies. Well, these are a little bit odd, aren't they? Because after apologies, We then have the Democratic Alliance.
There's no one there.
No, they on the next page. That's as part of the apologies. Is it there? All right. So there was no one there for that, right? All right. In attendance, you had a very long list of attendance. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Who was present to propose it. Yes, thank you. Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Cornwall. Thank you. That's the 18th. Then for the 21st of
seven.
Page 1. I take it that point party business was done. We've got everyone present here just about. Sabs, did you check page 1 with the attendance register? Page 2. Right. We have someone to propose adoption. Honourable Mkongi, seconded by the Honourable Williams. Minutes of the 21st, is that correct? September, the Wednesday. I expect a lot of you are feeling very nostalgic about Wednesdays. Now they're Fridays, substitute. Right, page 1, can you please check page 1? Where is the attendance register? I beg your pardon? No, I can't hear.
Well, tell the committee that.
Good morning. Apologies. The attendance register is misplaced. We are going to improvise.
Now, you can't improvise. That's a legal document.
I apologize for the terminology. We are going to look at who attended and ask the chair to verify if we can do that. Thank you.
Well, look, what has happened in the past is somebody has inadvertently taken it. You know how you are, you lean over to the chair and you inadvertently pick them up. Will you please check your own offices as well? I'll check mine. Thank you. I just need, just a minute. We do have a legal problem here, because we can't verify the attendance. Do you follow? So I'm going to have to ask you we can't adopt these minutes. Do you follow? So we will just suspend that and do it on Friday after we have also engaged with the table on the matter. Thank you. All right. Now we've done that. You know, DDG, Nyesi Tenzi, we did get your apology, and see, you've even gone grey looking for parking. But be that as it may, you're here. You are here. Yes. You know, I knew perfectly well you weren't unloading crates of liquor, but it's good that you are now here. Are you all right, though? Would you like some water?
No, I
won't. Yes, a glass of water. I mean, I could see you ran up those steps. Mustn't do that. Right. We've then done our minutes. Now we go on to the briefing on the liquor policy. I know, Honourable MacPherson, you're very interested in this area, and I'm sure we all are we not? Yes. So please, can we listen? We're waiting for you then to take us through, but let me just see who's here with you. Who is here with you? You have yourself, you have Mr. C. Makaipepe. Mr. Because I thought it was a miss, you see. Is it a missus then? All right, Director Liquor Law and Policy, CCRD, and a Miss Ramduni. That sounds like a, must have been one of the few who pronounced it right. Chief Director, National Liquor. Thank you. Don't worry, no one gets my name right. Go ahead.
No, thanks, Chair, Honourable Chair, and Honourable Members. Profusely again apologising. Thanks. The purpose is to brief the Honourable Committee on the policy. If I may say, I will do the background, and Ms. Makaipia will do the presentation. And then I will request the chairperson to allow me to conclude.
Sorry, how did you pronounce that name?
Makaipia.
Makaipia.
Thanks. So, by way of introduction, is that the policy is concluded. The policy is adopted by cabinet. Then what is left is to come with the bill to the portfolio committee, but before that, as for now, we are doing consultation. Since it was adopted on the 14th of September, and the bill was also accepted for wider public consultation. So we are consulting all over the country, and then we'll go back to Parliament, and then Parliament will inform us to introduce the bill to the Portfolio Committee. This is also the situation in the area of gambling, because these are twin brothers or sisters. They are going around the country. And then, like tomorrow, we are meeting the industry itself. So, in the background again, if you may recall, is that in 2003, we have the Liquor Act. The National is responsible for manufacturing as well as for distribution. Retail, that is the Shebeens and other areas, is regulated by the provinces. But we also have, for harmonization purposes, to regulate this harmful substance, we have the minister and his counterpart at provincial level, the MEC concerned, and then they sit down and discuss issues, and then come with norms and standards, and then norms and standards, they need to be included in the area of provincial legislation. That was not the case before, but as for now, we are moving to that direction if you read the policy. So the other issue is that in 2011, there was a second biannual substance abuse summit. This summit was held in eThekwini, Durban, and then this is a harmful substance. So this argument of saying, but you are allowing people to sign contracts, to go to school and sign contracts as students, to get into marriage, that argument should be dismissed like a hot brick, if I may say so, because we are dealing with a harmful substance that can corrode your bowels and then ulcers and then also damage your brain, and therefore it should not be compared to the issue of marriage and the other soft issues. Yes. I beg it?
Should be compared to what?
To other soft issues. Soft issues like signing contracts by students. Because as for now, we are going to introduce the issue of 18 years to 21 as an example. So people are saying, why do you introduce the issue of 21, whereas people are voting at the age of 18,
mm-hmm.
people are signing contracts as students at universities, as goes the legend. So therefore, I'm saying this is a harmful substance, in so much that therefore, if you are addicted, your brain is damaged, the fetal syndrome, which is very, very active here in Western Cape as an example. So let us not compare this issue, to repeat again, with soft issues, if I may say so.
Now, could I just check with you, at what age can you get a gun?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, we'll find out
Through our researcher. Right, carry on.
No, thanks. So the other issue is that there was the DNA Economics Commission by the DTI produced a report on the effectiveness of the Act, and then it was found that there are serious gaps. These gaps that we found are other issues that are instigating us to come with this amendment, with this review of policy. In May 2015, the draft policy review document was published for public consultation after cabinet has approved. And then, therefore, we took some time to come to the portfolio committee. However, we were busy consulting. And then, on the 14th of September this year, 2016, the national liquor policy was approved by cabinet and published for public information, not for consultation, public information, and the bill that is subservient underneath is now in the public domain for wider, for 45 days, but in the Gazette it is published for 30 days, but we are going for 45 days together with the gambling. So the Liquor Act regulates macro manufacturing. Macro meaning big manufacturing. So the small ones, micro, they are regulated at provincial level. And then, as I said, the other issue is distribution, is regulated at national level. So the main issues are addressing and reducing the socio-economic cost of alcohol abuse in South African society, restructuring the liquor industry to promote wider participation and encourage transformation. Chair, if you may allow me maybe to stop here,
mm-hmm.
and then allow Ms. McGyver here to take over, and then from this beautiful picture. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. Thank you, DDG. I'll continue with the liquor regulatory framework. The acting DDG has already alluded to the fact that at national, the DTI, we are responsible for macro manufacturing and distribution. And then the provinces, they do micro with the I, and then the retail. The retail is our restaurants, our taverns, our bottle store, that's what they are regulating. And then the difference between the macro manufacturing and micro is the threshold that the industry needs to produce. Like, for example, beer, we are saying that they have to produce 100 million liters per year. And for traditional African beer, 50 million, the wine, 4 million, and spirits and other liquor, 2 million. And anything below that, then will fall within the jurisdiction of the provinces. And the acting DDG has already also alluded to the fact of that the council, the National Liquor Policy Council, that is the structure that is created to make sure that they deal with the issue of concurrent jurisdiction between us as national and the provinces. And basically, the National Liquor Policy Council, they coordinate concurrent jurisdiction to ensure policy consistency, alignment, and harmony. And the council, or the National Liquor Policy Council, comprises of our minister and relevant MCs in the provinces. At the national, we've got the National Liquor Authority, and provinces, they've got the Provincial Liquor Board, and they are responsible for implementing the National Liquor Act and also Provincial Act. And getting into the document itself, as you can remember, that one of our objectives is to reduce and address the socio-economic harms of liquor abuse. The first issue that I'm going to address is the issue of socio-economic impact. And coming to this, we've got two blocks. The other one is the challenges that are currently there, and then on the policy position, that are some of the mitigating factors that we are coming up with. We are saying that alcohol abuse currently is in the increase according to research, and is leading to increasing levels of conflict in the family, violence, crime and alcohol-related diseases, sexual violence, and high-risk sexual behaviors, as well as road accidents. We are also saying that there's a high prevalence of the fetal alcohol syndrome in the world, and specifically in South Africa in the North. The research shows that the fetal alcohol syndrome is prevalent in Northern Cape. And again, we are saying that alcohol is estimated to cost South Africa 37.9 billion annually. This includes the cost around healthcare, crime and social welfare, alcohol-related treatment and prevention, and road traffic accidents. One of the mitigating factors that we are coming up with in the policy is the issue of advertising. We are currently having Section 9 in our current Act that talks to advertising, and we are here saying that it shows in terms of the research that advertising entice our kids or people that are not drinking to drink alcohol. Therefore, we are saying that we need to reduce advertising as much as possible. Therefore, we are empowering our minister in terms of the Section 9 to come up with restrictions of advertising. In the policy, we are giving example of time when the advert can be aired on our television on radios. We are saying this might be one of the restrictive measures, and we are also talking about the billboards that are around our country or around our roads to say maybe we also need to reduce those billboards, and also to say that maybe it will be good if the advert, the liquor advert, also includes the harms that are caused by alcohol abuse. So these are some of the restrictions that we've mentioned in the policy to say that the minister might look into them. And another issue is the issue of radius. The research shows that the increase in alcohol availability contributes to increase in alcohol consumption, which contribute to increased alcohol-related problems. Therefore, we are coming up with a radius to say that liquor premises need to be located at least 500 meters radius away from places of worship, schools, recreation facilities, residential areas, public institutions, petrol service station, and premises attached to petrol service station, and premises near public transport. If I can give an example of the issue of schools, the concern here about the schools is that our young kids in school, you find that they are in school, and then next to the schools there are premises where they sell alcohol. And in those premises, you find that normally there are a lot of noise, and then it disturbs the activities in school. That's why we are saying that they need to be 500 meters away from school. However, as we were consulting last year on the draft policy, we found that many people were complaining, saying that the issue of 500 meters radius, you find that they've applied for their licenses, and they've been there like for many years, and then after some years, you find that the municipality brings the schools or the churches around them. So it would be unfair for them to move. So we are saying that those who are already there, we are not going to remove them, but we are saying those who are already there, they have to comply with the norms and standards that will be come about by the National Liquor Policy Council. And also we are saying that the licensing authorities need to use their discretion to make sure that they are coming, they impose tighter trading conditions. For example, we have given the example of the issue of trading hours to say maybe in this area, licensing authorities might bring different trading hours to make sure that they coexist with the schools, or if they are within the residential area, maybe the level of noise that they are making and the nuisance are contained within those outlets. The issue of trading hours, last year, 2014, that other year, 2014, the norms and standards were published for implementation by the Department of GTI. The document, the norms and standards, was adopted at the National Liquor Policy Council, where all the relevant MECs also signed the document. That document contains, amongst others, the issue of trading hours for macro manufacturing and distribution, and also for retailers. So we are saying in the policy that those set uniform trading hours need to be integrated in both national, provincial, and municipal legislation. This is just also to ensure that we reduce the availability of alcohol. Another issue that we are coming about is the issue of age verification. We are saying that the licensees or managers or people that are dispensing liquor at the premises must take steps to ensure the verification of age of any person who appears to be under the age of 21, or by requesting an identity document, passport, or driver's license. The issue of age verification, we come up with this issue basically to address the concerns that our licensee have. Some are arguing that some of the children or youth that are coming to their premises, they can't tell if the person is over 18 or over 21. So we said that in order to make sure that they fall within the normal age that is available, they need to make sure that they verify the age of our youth that come into their outlet. And then again, we are coming up with the issue of liability. For us, we are saying that liquor must not be supplied to unlicensed traders. So therefore, we are coming up with a liability for our manufacturers and suppliers to say to them that if they provide their product to unlicensed traders and we find their product in that outlet, we are saying that that illegal trader, the supplier and manufacturer should be held responsible if any harm or damages ensues to the patrons within or near the premises or where such illegal liquor was being traded. This is just to make sure that our manufacturers and our traders trade responsibly or take responsibility of their products. Again, to our traders also, we are saying that they mustn't sell alcohol to already intoxicated persons, and even for them we are saying that should anything happen and to their patrons, the trader must bear responsibility or liability for those harms or damages. And in the policy we've made common signs of visible intoxication, and we are saying that if people have difficulty in walking, they can't walk straight, or they are becoming visibly physically violent, or they are loud or disorderly, we are saying these are some of the signs that our traders can stop selling liquor to those people. And then again, we are coming with the issue of age, reducing the legal drinking age from 18 to 21 years. I think this one, the 18 DDD has already elaborated our stance to say that we look basically into the health issues to say what are the health consequences that are caused by alcohol abuse, especially to young people. So that's the reason that we are reviewing the legal drinking age from 18 to 21 years. Again, we want to intensify the education and awareness. Some of the people, when we are going out doing consultation, they argue that they don't know the harms that are caused by the abuse of alcohol. Some were saying our retailers and distributors, they are saying that they don't know their licensing conditions. So for this reason, we are just saying that we need to intensify education and awareness in all the levels of society, and also to our traders to make sure that they comply with their licensing conditions. The other issue that our policy is addressing is the issue of transformation, and as research shows, it has shown that the South African liquor industry is currently predominantly white owned, and that there's also barriers for entry into the market. So we are saying that as a policy position, we are saying that those BBB code of good practice that has been I think the power is running out or something.
Someone just assist you there. Turn your mic off, please. The mic. Turn it off. You're reading from basically the presentation, aren't you? So if it does go off again, let's just continue. All right? All of us have got a copy, have we?
Yes.
Looking at members of the public or others, have you got copies? Some don't have. All right, we'll ask the committee secretary to assist. We, as of the 1st of November, lost our committee assistant. Didn't lose him, but he's been appointed to the divisional manager, which I imagine sounds like a step up from the chair, and we are without someone until next year. So we are now having to allow other staff, committee secretaries, to do this. So let's just manage. I'll make sure you get a copy in due course, but do go ahead.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the issue of transformation, we are saying that those are BBB codes of good practice, which have been published, we are saying that the National Liquor Authority needs to make sure that those codes of good practice form part of the application requirements. And then we are saying that those who don't comply with those codes, we might suspend their license or revoke their registration. And we are saying that the minister will determine the level of BBB requirements in the regulations. Another important issue that we are dealing with in the policy is the issue of standardizing aspects of regulation and improve regulatory collaboration. As a challenge, we are saying that differences in provincial and national liquor legislation in South Africa worsen the complexity of enforcement processes that we are currently having. We are therefore saying that those norms and standards that we have adopted at the Council should be integrated in both national and provincial legislation and regulation to ensure coherence and harmony. Again, we are saying that provincial and national bodies, all those provincial governments that are in some way impacted by liquor abuse, like your Department of Health, Department of Social Development, Department of Justice, our municipalities, we are saying that they need to work together to coordinate regulatory responses and also to share data and ensure their success of enforcement activities. And we are saying that we need to have a common training for our staff members, those that we will be designating to be our inspectors, our staff members, also health, to say we need to have a coordinated training program so that we act in coherence. And we are also addressing the issue of regulatory capacity within the National Liquor Regulator. Currently, we've got the National Liquor Authority, which is a chief directorate within the division, and we are saying that according to the research and monitoring that we've been doing, it shows that the National Liquor Authority is currently under-resourced to perform effectively the monitoring and enforcement rules that they are having. We are therefore restructuring the National Liquor Authority to become the regulator, and we want it to be fully capacitated with human resources so that they are able to enforce the licensed traders, and also to make sure that we are saying that the national regulator will be led by the chief executive officer and will fall within the Department of Trade and Industry. And the CEO or the national data regulator will report to the accounting officer of the DTI. And we are saying that the national data regulator will be funded through the normal budgetary process. Again, within the national data regulator, we are coming up with the internal review mechanism. We are saying that currently, when there is a dispute with regard to data administrative issues, these are referred to the court. And then this process is often lengthy, costly, and highly inconvenient. Therefore, we are coming up with the internal review mechanism that will deal with the aggrieved applicants. We are saying that this will reduce the legal cost for traders and reduce cost of doing businesses. The internal review mechanism is introduced to help those who cannot afford legal expenses to be able to have their cases adjudicated efficiently and effectively. But we are saying that although we are coming up with this internal review mechanism, our applicants who are not satisfied or are still aggrieved after this process, they are more than welcome to approach the court of law for review. We are also, our council, that is the National Liquor Policy Council, that we said is a structure that needs to deal with concurrent jurisdiction between us and our provinces. We are saying that currently there's a challenge within the council, because you find that we need to have meetings according to the Act, at least 2 meetings per annum, but you find that there's a lack of quorum in most cases when we need to have this meeting. So what we are saying here is that we want to improve the effectiveness of the council. Therefore, we are saying that if there are 2 meetings called and in both meetings there's no quorum, on the third meeting, the minister and those MECs that are available, we are giving them power to take the binding decision whether there's a quorum or not. And those other members that are not in attendance will be therefore bound by the decision that was made. Obviously, we'll send the documents to them for round robin, and then we'll have the decision made. I'll hand over, honorable members, to the acting DDG for conclusion.
No, thanks.
Thank you,
DDG. No, thanks. if I may clarify that the issue of age is just one of the components to deter people to enter into this area of drinking. But it should be considered cumulatively with other factors, like the issue of restricting advertisement. Together, therefore, they can have an impact. The other issue is restricting availability. Availability, we have already done in the transportation of these big trucks going to transport liquor. If they transport liquor to illegal shipping, at any time they can be stopped and then requested the documentation. Why are you not going to a depot? Now you are going to a shebeen or a retail, as an example. So they should be taken in a cumulative manner. So availability, they were threatening to take us to court. They had legal opinion, but legal opinions are legal opinions. The courts are made to resolve dispute. Then they didn't go, because these rights are not absolute. They can be restricted. They can be limited by the same constitution. Mm-hmm. So I'm moving to conclusion. The other issue is this one of liability. Liability, we are saying people who are transporting this liquor illegally and then giving it to the shebeens and other retailers, and the retailers, people get intoxicated, we are saying you should be held responsible. She has already said that. But the burden of proof changes now. The burden of proof, you know that if you allege that I have done something wrong, you have to prove. But in this area, it's the other way around. So, there are legislation here in South Africa that is also being implemented, and then the state law advisors also advise in that regard that we need to coin it well, like other legislation. They are named somewhere. So I'm deliberately doing that because we may need to talk around it. So therefore, the burden of proof will have to change. So in conclusion, the issue of transformation, the BEE is okay, but our Competition Commission also needs to come into the fray. Because if there is dominance, in other words, in South Africa you know that the manufacturers also own the distribution channel. So therefore there is the issue of a dominance somewhere. But it's not for the DTI to pronounce. The Competition Commission maybe needs to move out of the issue of merger and acquisition and then go to this issue. It can assist in the area of dominance and then transforming the economy, as an example. So review, we are saying people are here to run businesses, not to play in court. So let's have simplicity and so much that they can use internal mechanism, and then if they're exhausted, then they can go to court if they're not able. But we must have internal mechanism. So that is my conclusion, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Just before we engage you, can you just expand upon this, how the three spheres will be working together? You alluded to it earlier, you and your colleagues and within the department, but we know there's cooperative governance. But how are we going to ensure that when it comes to zoning, which is done at the council level, licensing, which is done at the provincial level, exactly how is this going to work in practice? What will someone require first? You can't get the zoning, you know, the zoning is done, you can't apply to work there without a license and vice versa. So how does this act address that, or this policy? Thank you.
No, thanks. My colleagues will also assist me. What we are saying is that theoretically, when the National Liquor Authority grants a license, as an example, say at national, we will also demand that there should be a zoning certificate or a traditional leader letter, because there are certain areas that are not within the municipalities, to issue a letter. So that is by way of showing harmonization. However, it is not working so well in municipalities like metros. In metros, you find that there is a difference norms or bylaws. And then in certain provinces, which I'm not naming, you find that the board, licensing board, will issue a license contrary to the zoning of the municipalities, in so much that therefore this policy is coming, I don't know the page, is coming with the issue of saying this policy council, which is the minister and the MEC's concern, we also need somehow to uplift the municipal mayor, salga, whatever, into the equation. They may have an observer status, but they must argue their case in that constellation, in so much that when we produce norms and standards, like what we did, they must be incorporated within a time frame in the provincial legislation, which we are saying maybe we need some voices to put pressure that this issue of time frames of incorporating the norms and standards should move faster, because it's frustrating to find that Northwest, they close maybe at 11 o'clock, Gauteng 12 o'clock, and then Limpopo maybe 1 o'clock, and then Mpumalanga another hour. We are mentioning this thing because those provinces, they meet somewhere. You just cross the street, you go to another province. So is Northwest, Northern Cape, Bloemfontein, Free State, as goes the legend. So therefore this policy is saying now we must have a tight administration, and the policy council must sit and take decisions. This issue of not correcting corrupts.
Yes.
Therefore, after a third meeting, am I right here? A second meeting, the third meeting, a decision is imposed. And therefore, those who were attending the meeting, the minority, can take a decision and move forward. And therefore, this is an indication of moving towards harmonization and enforcement in all three tiers of government. I don't know whether my colleagues want to add.
No, I think that that certainly assists us. So we're now going to look, and thank you very much, DDG, and the team, for briefing us. And let's just see, through the engagement, we clarify other points and also add. Honourable Williams, Honourable Kurnoff, by show of hands, please. Honourable MacPherson, Honourable Mkonki. Honourable Williams, let's try it at 3 minutes a shot to kick off with. There should be about two or three rounds.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I just want to say that the way in which you're presenting this to us is almost like it's done and dusted. And I just want to remind the executive that Parliament is not a rubber stamp, that you come here and you just approve anything that you give to us. I just wanted to say that up front. My first question to you is, did the DTI look at the substantial increase in the price of alcohol so that we can reduce consumption through that avenue, as opposed to reducing the rights of the youth, which I'm not very happy with at all, that moving the age limit up? So I don't think that arguing to us that, you know, this is obviously there's health risks with drinking, and therefore we're going to make it more difficult for young people to access alcohol. I don't think that that is a legitimate argument. I think that we need to look at other ways to reduce consumption and not move to take away people's rights. I don't think that this Parliament will be very happy to take people's rights away, because in my opinion it's the thin edge of the wedge. I mean, eventually you'll start taking away other rights. For instance, smoking is very bad for you. What is the age that you can smoke in South Africa? Yeah, so, I mean, why are we looking at upping this age from 18 to 21? I don't think it's going to make any difference to the amount of alcohol that the youth consume, because they'll just buy it now illegally. And what we'll have is a massive criminalized youth. So now our children will be now have criminal records. I think it's a very bad recommendation there. But what I really want to know is, did you look into putting the price of alcohol up to outprice the youth? Thank you.
Just before we come in then, Honourable Quernhoff, on the you mentioned earlier on in your presentation that you it was gazetted first for 30 days, and then it went out to the public hearing. Just clarify that.
No, thanks. What we said is that the policy, we consulted on it, and then we went back to cabinet, and then from cabinet now took a final decision, and then to say it is now closed, it will inform the bill. So we can argue on the bill stages, yes. So it was gazetted for 30 days, in the paper, but it is extended to 45 days.
It has now gone from 30 to 40.
Yes, yes, but we didn't issue a notice. We are just piggybacking on the area of gambling, which is 45 days, and then the two always, we are going to communities together to say we cannot separate the two, because, yeah, that's
I just want to get it quite clear. It was 30 days, which is now developed into 45 days, that is the 15th of October or something like that, isn't that right? Because it was, no, the 30th of September to the 31st of October to about the 15th, 17th of November. And then you're going to communities after that.
No.
During this process,
yes.
While it is gazetted, you are on your way to communities.
Yes.
All right. Having said that, the reason I made that intervention is because we received this liquor policy earlier on, you will recall, when we looked at it. And when did we receive it? Some months back. I think it was 3, 4, 5 months.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it came here. I still remember Honorable Mufasin saying, can we have an extension? And then we extended, like as we did now.
So I do remember we've had the policy for some time, but now we're going to go on to the Honourable Kornhoff.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I understand it correctly, the final day for representations was yesterday on this. Am I correct?
Is what I didn't
it was yesterday the final day for any representations. Or is it extended for another 2 weeks? I just want to know that.
It's extended.
Yeah. For another 2 weeks, okay, fine. But then my question is, after 2 weeks, will the department come back to us to give us a summary of the representations they have received from all those concerned with regard to policy? I think we should, as a committee, request that. Then on the liquor premises, I would like to see a definition somewhere of what is a liquor premises, because this proposal of 500 meters away from schools, places of worship, recreation, residence, it is just impossible in a city area. It is simply impossible to do that. Now, for instance, what you are saying, that the existing license will not go away, but if I hold the existing license next to a recreation facility or a place of worship, if I sell that license, will I remain in that spot, or will I go to another place? I need clarification on that. And then, if I cannot sell wine in a grocer shop within the 500 meters radius, why can I then sell cigarettes in the same grocer shop?
Why can you sell
cigarettes?
In the same
institution. So really, I really want you to unpack that. Then, final question. Do the department consulted a senior counsel on the constitutionality of this proposal? If they have not, I want to suggest them to do it, and we would like to see that.
Thank you very much, Honourable Colonel. Yes, Honourable MacPherson.
Thanks, Chair. I kind of feel like this is watching the bad movie that we watched when the policy was first brought to this committee. Because what's happened is the policy was released. There was a big outcry about it. I suspect that your office was inundated with submissions. We got a 5-page submission from myself, and then we heard nothing, and then all of a sudden the policy became a bill, and the bill is word for word what the policy is. So that tells me that you considered all the submissions that were made and rejected every single one of them. So you haven't taken on the advice or the feelings of the community, stakeholders, experts, legal advisors, nothing. And that for me is hugely hugely problematic. And it stems from a mindset that you yourself have, EDG, when you said at a liquor policy seminar in Pretoria, when I challenged you on the issue of the age limits being raised to 21, and I said, what was the evidence or the research that you had to suggest that it would make any difference? And your response was, well, that's actually not even open for discussion. That matter is closed now. Those were your words. And still today, no evidence, no research has actually been given to this community on what has informed this policy. I've requested it, and it has not been submitted. So, you know, you may say, and I'm just, and I've got a long list here, so I will use all three rounds. But as an example, on the issue of the raising the age limit, you will say, well, you know, in the United States, they've done that, and in other, you know, Scandinavian countries, they've done that. Well, you know, those are developed countries that have effective law enforcement capabilities to enforce the law. And the problem is, DDG, when you make law that is not respected by a country or groups of citizens, you delegitimize the very essence of the law. Now, in South Africa, whether you like it or not, to be able to have a drink at the age of 18 is considered to be socially acceptable. You're now going to say to millions and millions of 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds that what they are doing is illegal, and in their eyes and in their parents' eyes and in their community's eyes, it's socially acceptable.
Mr. Medima, I mean, this is the second time. Will you just switch it off? Take that battery right out. Right out.
And so what you do in one foul swoop is you actually take an issue that, you know, should be done in the eyes of their parents or the eyes of the public, and you drive it underground.
Right.
So if you think that you have a drinking problem now, just wait until you raise that drinking age to the age of 21. I mean...
That's it. You'd already had 3 months.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
thanks.
And that's
but
just one issue.
Three rounds.
Yes, thank
right.
you.
Right. And Honourable Mkhongi, did you want to come in on Honourable Van Schalkwyk? Okay, Honourable Mkhongi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The first thing that I want us to follow is the spirit of this policy. I mean, what is the spirit of the policy in relation to the socio-economic challenges of our country? Because if we're going to miss the heart of the policy, we're going to miss everything that we're proposing. Because our country today has a serious problem which is not of the creation of our people. Because the majority of people that are affected by the ills of liquor and alcohol in our communities are black people in general, and Africans in particular. If you know the campaign of the African National Congress Youth League in the 50s in relation to the beer halls and their husbands and sons dying in those halls, you will understand what is the context of this bill. So I want us, firstly, to take the spirit of the bill. And therefore, if we understand that we need to deal with the matter and the ills of alcohol in our communities, what are the angles? I still remember, Chairperson, I was the first person who raised the matter of age in relation to those who have the right to vote in this country. Now we are infringing their constitutional right not to enjoy themselves by putting it to 21. And I raised it deliberately so because I wanted it to be considered within the bill. But that does not necessarily mean that I'm against the spirit of the policy and the bill. So our arguments should be based on the spirit of the deal and then deal with those issues. Fundamentally, this issue of the age is a very serious question. I don't want you or the government that is in power to be taken in and out of the court and lose these cases. Because if we're going to write a bill that is going to embarrass our government in future, it was useless for us to sit here as MPs. Secondly, you see, when I came in this parliament, I said the role of MPs is for oversight over the executive, not vice versa, that the executive should have oversight over parliament. It's wrong. So the executive cannot impose the 21 years old over parliament as a legislature, because parliament represents the will of the people. And it is those people that are against the question of increasing the age. To go to the township today, you are having that problem. So we need to be open on that one. It's not to bombard the whole bill. It's to understand the spirit of the bill. If we say that incremental, we must put incremental there. To say that our aim is to go into age 21, but that should be on an incremental basis, based on the challenges that we're facing at a particular moment as a nation. Because we cannot go head on with the people on this bill. That is the first issue that I wanted, was the question of the spirit. In the context of the spirit, the absenteeism in the National Council shows that we are not sharing the same spirit of this bill. Because if people are going to run away from a collective adoption of norms and standards, therefore we have a problem. We have a problem. No people that can be absent in all meetings when this issue is going to be adopted. So we need to tighten that question of the role of the National Council or the Policy Council and how the MSCs. We suggested that one, at least you have inserted it, that the third meeting should be a meeting that takes decisions. But now, how are we sure that this is going to be implemented on the ground? There was a letter now that went to schools in the Western Cape province, encouraging schools to sell liquor, to sell liquor when they have fundraising programs. Some of us, we have a problem with that. And this goes to the heart of the issue of the relationship between the national legislation and the provincial legislation, whether the provincial legislation can supersede the national law. And if we do not get those answers, we're going to have problems. MECs are going to do as they please, even in education. So I want us to go into the spirit of this. But I still have a number of things to say. Chairperson, okay, thank you very much.
What I want us to do is to have two or three rounds, increasing a little bit of time, all the time. Do you want to come in now, Honourable Van Schalkwyk? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My concern was also around this 500 meter radius, because as the presenter mentioned, that those that are currently in place won't be affected. But when you've done the socioeconomic impact of liquor abuse, surely when taking into consideration all the presentations that will be made during this open process of public hearings and stuff, won't you reconsider the inputs versus what's actually happening in practice? Because you might find as a situation where it's currently that the radius is less than 500 meters, and it's having enormous impact currently on the communities. So I want to have some clarity there of, even though you are not speaking to the past practices, but given the current circumstances, won't it have an effect on what's going to happen in the future? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, I think DDG and the team, our concern here, and you can perhaps begin to hear it coming through, is not a disagreement with the principle and the goal of trying to address the socio-negative impact. That is not it. But it is actually how can one achieve it, can one achieve it without raising the age, you know, etc. So not the actual principle of it at all. The second thing, though, is this, that currently we're unable to enforce 18. That's a fact. We can't enforce it. Now, exactly how much money are you going to put in to enforce 21? Just the practicalities here, because it is not our intention as Parliament to adopt legislation that we cannot implement. We're not going to do that. The second thing is, it's not just urban areas or cities where it's difficult to sort of say is that 500 metres. How many metres is it again, DG?
500.
Yes, 500 metres, barely a race I can run.
But so 500 metres, but it is also,
I simply use the word Alexandra, you know, a former African township. I'm sure Khayelitsha would be in a similar situation, where people are living cheek by jowl. Now, that being the case, is one then going to say that, 500 metres from here is, I see, just where Sandringham starts. So once again, you can buy alcohol in the white areas. I don't think that is the intention at all, because it would be reinforcing the apartheid system of town planning. So I think that we would want you to try and answer and address these issues here, understanding that MPs are really not opposed to addressing the socio-economic impact, but rather the measures in place. Thank you. Over to you, DG, and the team. And we're going to have several little interactions, all right? Thank you.
No, thanks. My colleague will also come in.
Sure.
I will try to answer whatever I can and look at my colleagues. Honorable Williams, when I did an introduction, I said, let's look at these issues cumulatively. Internationally, the issue of pricing, is one of the factors when you find that the price is going up of liquor. It's another way of trying to deter. So in other democracies too, the issue of availability, as I described it, the issue of restricting advertisement, others even went in the area of tobacco, went to the area of banning, which people argued that is unconstitutional. And then I was participating in that case from the intellectual property point of view, because we are using trademark to say Australia has already moved to the issue of having plain boxes of cigarettes, as an example. Can you limit that right? Other democracies have already proven that. And then, so the issue of pricing, restricting advertisement, age is one of the issues which the World Health Organization came with tons and tons of evidence to say, please, you can do this. Is the choice of a national government. So that's where we are, is for this government now to say, yes, evidence from other democracies, the decision is yours. Ours is to advise Parliament and Cabinet. That's all what we can do. But the decision lies on the other side, not with the bureaucracy. So I'm trying to answer the issue of pricing red together with other factors. It can be done. So moving to the other issue of saying, but the issue of age may be unconstitutional. really, we manage a lot of legislation from our division.
Mm-hmm.
We try by any means,
mm-hmm,
not to mislead and go unnecessarily to court.
Mm-hmm.
We request opinions, but opinions are opinions. Sometimes we have two or three. So we went to the state law advisors as a port of entry to go to a senior counsel or whatever. We don't go straight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was done in particular on the issue of liability. So the issue of liability were advised. I can't remember whether it's a senior counsel, but the discretion is with the state law advisors of going to a particular person, because the issue of practice also should be taken into account. So maybe if I can jump to the other issue of dense areas, densely populated areas, and the 500 meters. 500 meters, we are saying, as a standard, it should be 500 meters. But those who are already in, there should be other laws, common law, that apply. As an example, you are next to a church.
Yes.
You are already 200 meters or so at a school. We are saying, when we issue this license as authority, come with certain conditions. One of the conditions is to say, when the school is on, when the church is on, please don't do your noise, littering, all those issues. If you don't follow such, during renewal or before renewal, we can suspend your license because you are always contradicting our rules.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, during renewals, we can also say, we are not renewing.
Yeah.
That's another way of getting rid, lack of a better expression, getting rid of people who were there but not complying with the law of nuisance, noise, littering, all those issues. So they may end up going out. And then rest together maybe with the discretion that is going to be given to the licensing authority to say, in congested areas, like let's say Malaysia, the skyscrapers, we no longer have 500 meters. People are staying on top of each other. How do you deal with that? So we are saying, use your discretion and then apply other laws, bylaws, nuisance, but allow people to drink, to eat and drink.
Sure.
Because liquor is, by the way, healthy. It's another way. Liquor is healthy. It is a micro element. So we are not saying socially you should not drink. No, that's not what we are saying. If you go to Germany and other countries, I mean, 2 pints per day is not a problem. But they eat and drink. We are dealing with abuse here. Here there is a lot of abuse, and our nation is probably dying. We can talk about jobs and the like. One day we want to have people to employ because people are condemned. So all in all is that there's 500 meters and congested areas, there is a discretion in the police to say, please use it not as an unfettered discretion, and then deal with that. So the other issue that I'm saying, maybe Honorable McPherson, in the conference that we had a lot of people attending, from sportsmen, sports people, who said they were being used during advertisement as role models in order to attract the youth to enter into the equation. We also had people from the university. If I'm not mistaken, the president of the SRC of TEKIS, University of Pretoria, who said how they are dealing with this issue of students drinking a lot. So they agree with the spirit, Honorable Nkongi, with the spirit that we are taking in, the way how we are communicating it to the public. Let's come with measures that are agreeable. And the students are saying it is a problem in their communities, and therefore they may even, they have banned the issue of drinking too much. There is what we call student, when the universities open, all those issues, they are dealing away with them, but in a phased manner, in so much that therefore, when people are being transported to their homes, you can ask the traffic cops to come and then say, can we give you a lift or detain you until you get sober in this area? So this is the culture that is starting to emerge. So all in all is that the psychologists too are agreeing with this approach of saying it is true that the brain develops from 21 to 25. So therefore, the area that we're taking is well informed. You go to the World Health Organization, they will tell you the same thing, in so much that therefore, the issue of age should be considered as one of the factors that should be cumulatively considered. But if it is too hot for Parliament, then it's another issue, but this is one of the factors. So in the US, as an example, it is demanded that you must produce your ID when you are buying liquor. So we are not yet there. We are saying verify. It's a software approach. But maybe we may move to say everybody should now verify that I am above this age, because you find that some people are built up, but you think he or she is at above the age of 18. Yep. When the raids and other issues happen, now the issue is argued to say, but this person was in the bar, I thought is above this age, but is below 18 as an example, or 16. So all in all is that we're saying these factors were well considered, advised by the World Health Organization and communities. Maybe moving towards conclusion, my colleagues will come. The communities, the traders themselves, said, we think we need education and awareness, us as traders. What is it that we should not do? Because they are the ones who are selling liquor to the miners. And then some of the houses or whatever are collapsing. And then when you go in, you find that two or three miners are dead there on the spot. So therefore, we say the issue of verification of age, as well as educating the sellers themselves to say, don't do this. If you do this, these are the consequences, whether it's a withdrawal or suspension of a license, is another issue. But we're saying we are mobilizing also the issue of town planning, as an example. We talk about the three tiers. The town planning people should also be in the equation in this policy council, as I described, sure, that they will not per se be full-time members, but they will be having observers, arguing, and showing us how they are moving. The Department of Traditional, what is it, COCTA, actually also advised to look the way how they are moving now away to this issue of concentrated areas and then building up, like Singapore as an example, to say therefore this policy, how will it dovetail with that? And then we responded by saying, let's give discretion to authorities to use it in a not in an unfettered manner. and therefore we are working with the COCTA people to also advise us. So the spirit, the spirit of the bill or the policy, I take it as a sort of an appreciation, as a statement supporting what we are doing. But the issue is that at an implementation level, how will you do it? The issue of age 21, is it constitutional or not constitutional? So we, from our side, we are saying you may also be advised from the other side whether it's constitutional, but from our side we say we have provided information that it is constitutional. We are allowed to limit certain rights, only the right of killing, if I'm not mistaken, and servitude, child labor, these are absolute rights. The others, you can limit them for the good of the country. So we wouldn't like to go and play into the courts, but from our side, I think we were well advised. But the courts are there to assist us also, not to lose in an embarrassing way, to assist us to say, you can do it in this manner. Maybe when the bill goes to the president, I'm postulating now, goes to the president, instead of the president signing, it can go for certification by the constitutional court. That is another option that can be done. The president can say, no, I'm not signing, I'm taking it back to parliament, or let it go to the constitutional court for certification. These are the issues that can be considered. I think that's all what I can say in the area. Absenteeism, my colleagues through your chair, they want to come in and they assist them.
Thank you, DDG and DTMC. And when you speak, just give your name, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just have to come in on the question of what is the premier
name.
Sorry, Chair. I'm Clementine Magaibia.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to come on the question of a premise. A premise is in our Act, is currently defined in our Act. It refers to any place, land or building. So Honorable Member was asking that if he sell the place, then will he still be within?
Very nice.
Yes. So we are saying that since the definition of premise includes the place or the land, we are saying that if you are there, as we are talking now, the 500 meters, you will not, that place that you sell will still be within that 500 meter radius. So it means now you're going to follow the same rule as that one to say you have to comply with the norms and standards that will be developed by that time.
Carry on.
And another issue is the issue of the National Liquor Policy Council. We've taken notes and comments that we received, because initially we were talking that after first meeting, therefore we're going to make sure that we take decision at the second meeting whether there's a quorum or not, and then we've been advised that at least we give our members of the council 2 meetings and then thereafter we need to take decision. So this is some of the amendments that we've made into their act, into their policy. And again, the issue of to say that maybe we don't listen to the comments as we are going through the provinces. We did. We are indeed listening to what the people are saying when we receive the comments. Another issue when I was presenting was the issue of 500 meters radius away. I indicated that the initial policy was saying that those who are within 500 meters radius, they need to move out, as they are inconveniencing the community or the schools that are next to them. But then after the consideration of the comments that we've received from the public, that's why we are saying we then move to say they don't have to move, they still have to be there but comply to the nonsense standard as will be done from time to time. Thank you, Chair.
Yes,
DDG?
Yeah. Yeah,
the question of these premises, can it be sold? And then what happens? I think that premises, yes, it can be sold and still continue to use that license. The license is a property, so it's a right. It's a right then. It can be transferred to another person, and the person continue in that spot. So I just wanted to close on that. And then, Honorable Van Wyk, Skalkwyk. Yes, yeah. I thought we have talked to the issue of 500 meters retrospectively moving. My colleague said no, we were going to take all the rights away, but we were advised to say don't move backwards. And then it shows that we listen to people, and then but now we have concentrated areas, Alexander or whatever, in so much that take Alexander as skyscrapers and the like. What to do? Because after two houses, two streets, there are shebeens there. Should we take their livelihood and the like?
Yes.
I think that issue of empowering the local authorities to deal with that issue is an indication that this policy is not going to be a draconian law. But other issues, we may need empowering law sections and move to regulations. And then we consult with those particular areas, and then we see how we take the process forward. So we hope we have talked to all the issues, Chair. Thanks.
Right. Now, we are going to do several rounds, as I indicated. The Honourable MacPherson, Honourable Mkongi, the Honourable Williams, the Honourable Van Skalkwyk.
Thanks, Chair. I actually think the Honourable Mkongi put it quite well when he said we need to take into account the spirit of the policy and the issues before us. The problem is that I don't think that the department understands or has thought about how to deal with the problems. You see, you can't regulate or further regulate or further legislate issues such as the ones that face us with respect to alcohol. So what you want to do is you want to make it tougher for people to buy alcohol, but you don't say how you're going to enforce that. You want to criminalize 18-year-olds for drinking, but you don't say how you're going to enforce that. And that's one of the biggest omissions of the policy in the bill, is that it speaks very little to the issue of enforcement and who's going to be responsible for enforcement. But, you know, DDG, there's actually constitutional problems with this bill, because the Constitution is very, very clear that licensing standards and regulations around licenses are the ambit of provinces. And you're seeking to take that over, and I don't understand how you seek to take that over. You know, in my opinion, you know, making a determination that a yes,
just assist me in
yes.
What way?
It's the licensing conditions of a license are the ambit of the provincial
yes,
licensing authority, not the national government. And what the bill and the policy seeks to do is overtake the province's right to do that. I have submitted that in my initial submission, and I have not got any response on that. But I want to talk on the issue of...
This is the second time I've heard you refer to the bill.
Yes.
Where is the bill?
It's been published.
When was the bill published?
At the end of September.
Yes.
As I said, the policy was pronounced on the 14th of September, as final, together with the bill. That is also the issue of wider public consultation. And then going to wider public consultation, meaning therefore we still have to go back to cabinet for
yes,
approval.
Bill out here.
It's not
what I'm saying. Right, I'm looking all over for the bill. Right. Thank you. Back to yourself.
Thank you. I mean, let's look at example for the liquor premises, and I don't think that you actually grapple with that particular issue. Because let's take, for example, the city centre of Cape Town. City centre of Cape Town has a number of government buildings, it has a number of places of worship, it has a number of transport hubs, and if you wanted to open a liquor establishment, whether it be a restaurant, a bar, you know, or a store, you'd be prevented from doing that within the city of Cape Town, in the city centre. It would be a disaster if that happened. What about the waterfront? The waterfront, the V&A waterfront, is a transport hub. There's government buildings there, and it's within 500 metres of residential area. Can you imagine if the waterfront in 10 years' time, because no new licences were allowed to enter in that, who would want to go there? Except to go and look at a few toy shops. So I don't understand how you've come to that position, and I think that it really needs a lot of thought. Once again, trading hours, you know, you want to limit trading hours, that's a provincial competency, it's not yours to impose on the province. And then when we get through to liability, you know, you say illegal traders, if you find, let's say, Castle Lager at an illegal tavern, an illegal tavern doesn't go to SAB and get distributed alcohol from SAB. They go to a wholesaler and buy it from them. Yet you want to go and charge SAB for having a beer in a legal tavern. That doesn't make sense. How are you going to exactly extend that liability to them? And in fact, I remember when we were in E249, we had this discussion. You said, well, you know, we'll let the courts decide that. You can't leave it up to the courts to decide something like that. You have to have a very, very strong legal opinion that says that you can do that. And I would officially ask that you provide all those legal opinions and once again the evidence that you've relied upon. With intoxicated persons, let's say an intoxicated person walks into a bar, they're already intoxicated, they don't have a drink, but they walk out of the bar, get in their car and crash it down the road. Who are you going to charge? You're going to charge the bar for allowing an intoxicated person into a bar. I don't know how you're going to extend that liability. And don't forget that one of the key points of South African law, the electoral law, is that a nexus has to be established between the harm and the action. And I don't know how you're going to establish that, and I think that you need to explain that to us.
We've got 10 seconds before 5 minutes.
Okay. With respect to the BEE component, you know, that is not in accordance with the BEE Act or the Codes of Good Practice. The Act and Codes are very clear that you may only impose a penalty on someone. You can't go and revoke their license. That is not catered for in the Act. So I'd like to let you ask where you came up with that one. I'll come back to the third round.
You actually had 6 minutes.
All right, thank you. Well, you did ask me two questions.
All right, that's why I took off a minute and a half. Thank you.
Honourable Williams.
Thanks, Chair. You did mention that pricing was one of the measures, but you didn't put it into the policy. So I just want to know, it seems to me that the pricing option would cover everything. If we doubled the price of alcohol tomorrow, the consumption would be reduced massively. I mean, why aren't we just going for the pricing option? Add a massive tax onto alcohol. We can price it right out of that from the 18 to 21-year-olds. They won't be able to afford massive amounts of alcohol anymore. So I think the pricing one is the way to go. But it seems to have just been not added into the policy. Also, I want to know about the premises. Let's say I own a bottle store currently that's in an area that's 500 meters away from everything. So it's legal, and even if the policy comes through, it'll still be legal. In 2 years' time, a church opens up next door to me. Must I then close down my bottle store? So I just want to know how that's going to work. Also, just another thing, if this goes through as it is, the bar in Parliament will become illegal because of the church next door. So, I mean, there's, like they were saying, it's very hard in rural, in urban areas. Close down Parliament. So, again, I'd just like to say, I don't think that the issue around the age should be looked at, you know, from outside as just a constitutional issue. It is fundamentally reversing the gains that we made. We've given rights to people when they turn 18, they can fundamentally, they're adults, have the same rights as everybody else, and you're trying to promote a situation that takes their rights away. And I think that we should never go down that road. I think it's very, very bad. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Sorry about this, Honourable Mkongi.
Chairperson, I want to thank the meeting that we are going this particular way in discussing the matter, because what I was avoiding was the confrontational nature of engagement, which I don't think is productive for such purposes. But I want to contest some few things. We must be wary of selecting or be selective into the Constitution. Above the Constitution, there's an act that is called Intergovernmental Relations Act, which prescribes the relationship between the spheres of government and which is the supreme law of the country. It tells you that the national law becomes the final law in the country. So provinces cannot supersede the powers. It's like one of the councils, yes, you are a passenger in a car, you are drinking your beer, and then the driver is not a person that drinks. They stop your car, they arrest you as a passenger. And these are the things that are wrong in our relation, the national law, the provincial law, and also the local law. So we need to tighten up these issues and make sure that the laws are not conflicting with each other. So it's very important that also provinces understand that they are existing within the borders of the Republic of South Africa.
Yeah.
And that is very important. Secondly, Chairperson, I think the question of pricing goes hand in hand with advertising. The question of advertising should be taken up as a fundamental question. We have experience in this country. We don't need now to go back to research. Smoking in South Africa has dropped dramatically. You can't enter this room in South Africa now carrying a cigarette. You can't even smoke next to a normal person in South Africa. That person is going to tell you, no, go home and smoke somewhere where you can smoke. Now I'm saying the effectiveness of the laws that we have implemented in the country, we cannot overestimate them. Because of the lack of advertising, many young people do not practice smoking as was before. You saw people in meetings, they were smoking like this, while this talking, no respect. So if the very same trend we can take on DECA in relation to the pricing, it can go a long way, because cigarette is very expensive to get at 20. The last issue, Chairperson, is the issue of the liability. The matter of the ID, DG, I think we need to take up that issue. The ID, many people, they have licenses. Those licenses are in the wallet. And when they go and buy liquor, they're driving their cars, most of them. So what is very difficult for that person to produce a license, and then we can determine the age. So it goes with the question of the ID. You see, so these are the issues that I'm saying we need to tighten up and make sure that there is no space for any air to go out. So I think I'm very happy now with the way this meeting is taking, that we are advising that you consider these matters. We don't blow to those communities, we're going to fight with them and try to win their hearts into understanding. And then it must be them that own this bill. You know, they must protect it and defend it. So if they take that from us, I think we'll go a long way.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mkongi. Did you have your hand up, Honourable Mkongi? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm partly covered by the other members. The only thing that I'm interested in, perhaps, is the DDG and the other presenter kept on referring at, to other countries, especially developing countries, benchmarking in terms of what's happening in terms of this area in other countries. But do you have any research which relates to the African context, that we know what is happening in within our continent with regards to this issue? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Very good question, that one, an inquiry. I'd be very interested, DDG, you know, in my sort of early years of history, my first degree was in clinical psychology. Now, I must say, it seems to advance dramatically. I'm unaware alcohol, your brain continues to develop between 21 and 25. So I, for one, would be very interested in being given the references to that research, one. The second thing is, now I may have a slightly different slant on things, but I do hope, as Honourable Mkongi says, we're all in the spirit of dealing with this and in the right frame, it will be taken in that context. You know, when we talk about pricing things, we perhaps so often think of ourselves and what we earn. The reality is, we earn much more than 80% of South Africa. So you're going to afford cigarettes, but guess what, the others aren't. Or alcohol. And often they say, shame, you know, oh, is the poor man's, the poor worker's final enjoyment taken away, the price of beer. Gone up three times. Okay, Pumps, you can buy beer. What about him? Isn't he entitled to buy a beer? So I don't think it's that simple, the pricing issue. I think you've got to remember what the majority of people in our country earn who are entitled legally to drink before we set any price limits or increase. I think that must be taken into account. And why should I reduce a worker to beer and not wine? Why? You know, I just think we must be very careful at imposing discriminatory legislation while we should consider all aspects. For one moment I'm not thinking of justifying free booze around the place. You know? But the other issue which I think I still haven't made myself clear about, and I thought I heard you say, DDG, what you've got now, the license won't be taken away unless you break conditions. Well, that's all very well, but what about the future? It certainly seems from all accounts we'll get greater density in the future. And yet, we're still sticking on this meter, the meter, so many meters. I would have liked very much for South Africa to look at another way of maintaining this environment in the community, which was convivial to education, faith, etc., without putting so many meters. Because Alexandra Township's on my doorstep. I'm trying to think of exactly where they're going to be having these liquor outlets. I don't know. It'll be on the borders of Alex. That does worry. So I think that it's going to be helpful if we look at other measures, not only, or at least we look at conditionalities linked to that without sticking to so many meters, etc. Then the other issue that one has here, of course, the next thing you'll hear of is that they put a retail alcohol outlet in a helicopter, someone was telling me, and then it lands, takes off, you climb up a ladder to buy, gives you so many
feet is off the ground. No, you know, I think we must really look at
this. Is that real, or is that an idea?
No, the other issue is this on the alcohol. Is the, on the one hand, we say we want to transform the industry. And by transform, I also took this to mean one of you of the team mentioned breaking down barriers, access barriers, meaning, you know, it seems to be that in the past it was confined to the white population, the sale of alcohol, and now, you know, we want to break down those barriers, the ownership of these outlets. Now, if we're going to do that, on the one hand, we're almost, you could argue, be talking a wee bit of expansion. On the other hand, we're talking about limiting, you know. So I'm saying it's these different things that we really are going to have to balance when I look at this. The other point is, why do people drink? They don't drink all drink to get drunk. You know, and I heard someone in passing say actually it was even healthy. Indeed, it's a very healthy occupation if in moderation. Like almost everything in life. So I heard nothing about responsible drinking being said, about teaching people how to drink responsibly. I was in a place the other day when someone took the most expensive whiskey and decided to knock it back with appetizer in it. You know, people don't know how to drink in the country. They know how to get drunk. Very different things, all right? Last point I just want to make on this one here. This issue about the coordination. Well, someone said that the law was, the Constitution, some other law was, piece of legislation was higher than the Constitution. The Constitution is the supreme law of the country. Everything else is subservient to that. So we need to keep that in mind. But I think this Cooperative Act, Governance Act, we need to explore that a little bit more, especially with three spheres of government working here. And the fact that there is a need to see us as a unitary state and not a federal state. This is not a federal state by any stretch of the imagination. The last point is being stopped on the road. Someone mentioned things like that, you know, if you stopped on the road, etc. There needs also to be cooperative governance, not only within spheres, but within departments, etc. You know, the police and welfare and DTI, etc., etc. But I was looking here, you had some reference. This Liquor Act had gone to the Constitutional Court at some point. I'm looking at page 11 here of this, and it says that they then looked at this about the zoning, etc., and that was going to continue to remain a local government issue, and then macro and micro would be separated, but that this would remain the preserve of DTI, and that the Act had set the tone, but there needed to be greater alignment within departments like social development, etc. So I think that you have tried, it would seem, but I wouldn't like to see us infringing on people's constitutional rights. I think that is very, very important. And I would certainly say, and I know I'm waiting to read about this brain development at 25, but then you better start talking of changing this to 25, if that is a fact. I don't think it is, but there we are. Over to yourself, DDG.
No, thanks. The discussion is it is very healthy from our side. That's how we're taking it. So even our response, we will try to hover at that level, not to come with precise signs.
Yes.
1 + 1 = 2. No, we will also go at that level. Thanks. The issue of Honorable McPherson, it is true that if we shift but then of proof. Somebody's entering into a shebeen. I like the word shebeen.
Yes.
Yeah, others don't like it. Into a retail to say, but this person was already drunk. I didn't take an extra drink there at that spot. And the burden of proof is with you. So what should happen is for you to adduce evidence that actually I didn't drink there. Whether you come with witnesses and the like, if you come with witnesses they say, no, it's true, that that person never drank there, then you are off the hook. That's, I'm trying to explain the burden of proof. Whereas the normal burden of proof, that is with the prosecution, they say you have done this, and then you said, prove it. So I call witnesses and the like, you cross-examine until we come to a conclusion. So I'm trying to say, therefore, you can say, I didn't drink anything, only my son who was driving me, actually, is the one who bought a beer. Maybe I paid for it, but it's not me. So I'm trying to talk to the shifting of the burden of proof. I'm at that level too. So the issue of that we're talking about still on Honorable McPherson.
Yes.
We are also talking about behavioral changes.
Aye.
Yeah, we are also talking about behavioral changes. Not everything should be legislated.
No.
As an example, somewhere we talk about education and awareness, whether it's responsible drinking and the like, to say the traders themselves, we issue these licenses, whether it's for distribution, for manufacturing, the provinces dealing with the issue of retailers and the like. Don't we sit down sometime and then talk about the regulatory framework to say you do this and this and this, as an example. So that issue of changing the behavior of the sellers, that don't allow somebody to come into your bottle store,
no,
and then somebody is sending, a youth is sending an elder to come and buy. But you have monitoring mechanism next to your premises, and then you are allowing these things. So can we change that? This is a behavioral change. And then if we can pick it up through samples, we can enforce it, whether we withdraw the license because it's a criminal offense to sell to a minor, as an example, whether through extension or not, if we can prove that. Therefore, the enforcement agencies should also have their intelligence. That is, the municipalities, they have got local, what's called police, if I may use that expression. We also have inspectorate from our side. We also have SAPS who use the Criminal Procedure Act or our Act. If they act through our Act, they must proceed with it until a conclusion, but not to to straggle the lines. So all in all,
yeah.
I'm talking to the issue again of trading hours to say the fact that we have this policy after a court. By the way, we were of the view that liquor is under the national competence.
Yes.
Then there was a court case that changed that to say, no, the provinces also have the retail. We didn't follow it up, but it's a law that there is separation of our retail and the micro, the small manufacturer, are with the provinces. We are with the distribution and the like. The fact that we have now the policy council, it means that by agreement, let's agree to move to this direction.
Uh-huh.
We are talking about norms and standards.
Yes.
And then when we have these norms and standards, please go and factor them into your provincial legislation. So there is no contradiction of saying we are usurping the power of the provinces is by agreement. We debate issues there, and then there is an agreement. Norms and standards were issued last year, if I'm not mistaken. Now we will also be moving forward in the spirit of this policy to say what are the issues to be taken into account for us to have a unitary state moving in one direction. There will be some constellation, is true, but this body is formed for that. So the interdepartmental relation has been shown that we work with social development. Maybe in the earlier policy you saw that we wanted to create a fund, but it's no longer here. The fund, that money should go there for rehabilitating people, as an example. The DTI may be distributing this fund, money to social development that have rehabilitation centers,
right,
to health department for the victims flowing from accidents, as an example, of liquor drinking, as an example. Even if it is no longer there, but the spirit is still there to say intergovernmentally, the Department of Transport coming with this zero tolerance of not comma, not one, whatever, take it out. It is coming through the intergovernmental relations. And then we won't take each other to court, because the Constitution says, let's talk and talk, and then see how we resolve those issues. So there are other issues, that the issue of concentrated areas, I think we heard you. We heard you. We will consider them, but the spirit that we're talking about is to say they will be concentrated areas. The conditionality issue, we will put it into place to say, here's the license, these are the conditions, and then we'll try to do it within the law and the Constitution. That is our guiding principle. We cannot say more than that. The issue of pricing, Honorable Mkongi, we take it as advising us as a statement to say move to this direction, and then effectiveness, change the behavior of the people, and then ID verification, as an example. We are not yet there, but we are saying it seems as if we should move to that direction. Other jurisdictions are doing that, to say we want to see this. So if that is the advice that we are getting, we will gladly take it. And then the other issue of chairperson of maintaining the 500 meters, conditionality, all those things read together, I think we had you. We will consider them. But the discretion is still there. We are not taking it out. So we can use it in Singapore or Alexander, whatever, without taking the livelihood of people who depend on liquor. So another issue of pricing is that the moment you overly increase your price, it may lead people to go to illegality.
Underground.
So we are running a nation. We need to balance. Yeah, it is also on the document, Honorable Williams. My colleague will refer to a page that it is in the document, and the reference of the chairperson to say 21 to 25. We will produce that to say things have advanced, and then give to the chairperson. So all in all is that coordination, responsible drinking, the Constitution taking precedent over any other law. That is our guiding principle. And then the issue of opinions. We take opinions in the area of gambling. Still remember that we had three opinions differing. But somebody has to take a decision. This issue of opinions is okay, but somebody must take a decision. So We will provide where we can opinions. In other areas, we are advised to say consult first. Later, then you can go for opinion making. And then the issue of summary, will we come back with a summary? Yes.
I think it was raised
in the first stanza, if I may say so. I think this issue, this will go to cabinet probably in February next year, meaning therefore after the closure of these 45 days, we would like to summarize everything and then make our own proposals. I think at that time, that's when we can be recalled, but it will be leading to cabinet, say, by February next year. Maybe we can be recalled. We don't have a problem to be advised on the issues that we want to make the law. So my colleagues were whispering there are issues that they want to impose.
Yes, don't allow them to whisper down the corridors. Ms. McApia?
Thank you, Chair. I was just whispering to the HNDDD about the paragraph that talks to the pricing in the document.
Now, what page is that on?
It's in page 25, and then this paragraph was crafted with the Department of Treasury, because the issue of pricing falls within their mandate, so we consulted them on this issue.
All right, what number around from page 4.1.1.1.4.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.1.
reduce their alcohol abuse. Thank you.
Yes, DDG?
No, thanks. There is this issue of conditionality. We agree that we will look at it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then the issue of transformation, access or limiting, the BE issues. I mean, we are not experts on BE, but we subjected this policy to the BE unit when the law, when the act was being, amended, codes being put in place. And then I think they gave us something to say, go in this way. So it is wide enough in so much that the issue of transformation will be balanced, whether it's control, management, all those issues will be taken into account. This policy gives us a broader mandate to apply the BEE even during licensing. So thanks.
Honourable MacPherson?
This is round three.
Yes, I was just making a comment here, though, because you did say earlier you needed to leave at 11:45 sometime.
No, 12:15.
Oh, 11:45. All right, now there's just something we needed to get the DDG not to forget, and that is this issue of monitoring, inspection, and ensuring, you know, that this 18 as it was, we couldn't enforce the enforcement measures. What we need you to more fully spell out these enforcement issues, the cost of enforcement, because it clearly has not been enforced effectively, and that is the problem. Honourable MacPherson?
Actually, Chair, with respect, what the problem is that bad policies inform bad bills. And in my opinion, this policy is ill thought out. It has not taken on board the submissions that were made. If you had taken on my submission around enforcement and extending enforcement, we wouldn't be having this discussion now because it would be in the bill. But I would hesitate that one person read my submission, and
sort of put it in the bin, because that's how submissions are dealt with.
Just a minute there, Honourable MacPherson. You're talking about your submission, but you made an earlier comment the very first time you made a comment, and that was the from what you had originally seen to now the revised draft, as it were, or final policy, you saw absolutely no change, which led you to believe that they were not taken into consideration. I think that's how you put it.
That's correct, yes.
Because what I'm hearing, you know, you're referring now to yours, and the question would have been for me is to get some idea as to how many submissions did you get in terms of written submissions, you see. But go ahead now, Honourable.
And more importantly, what we've done, what was done with those submissions. And I think that it's important that the department plays open cards with us on that issue, because a number of the issues that are being highlighted in the bill were highlighted in the policy, and you've chosen to proceed on that basis. So it's really disturbing for me that you've chosen to do that. You made an interesting point when you said, or an interesting observation when you said, well, you know, with respect to pricing, that you were sort of worried or concerned that, you know, too high a price on alcohol would lead to, you know, people, you know, sort of a black market or people going underground for alcohol. Surely that same theory or idea applies to age limits. The higher you make an age limit, the more unattainable you make it, or unrealistic, the more underground, the more black market activity you create. So you have one set of thinking for one point of the policy, and your set of thinking for something similar, different issues, but similar thinking, is completely different, and it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, when we speak about enforcement and licenses, you know, I mean, everyone's quite clear that the issue of licenses, or producing at least a driver's license or an ID, I mean, we're all quite clear on that, yet it's not in the bill. And that was a submission that I made with respect to the policy, but it never found its way into the policy, and it didn't find its way into the bill. And that's how I know that the submissions into the policy were not taken seriously. So DDG, what assurance do we have that the submissions into the bill are actually going to be taken seriously if none of the submissions into the policy were taken seriously? And I really want to ask you, and I would like a decision from yourself, that the department furnishes us with all research, with all documents that they have relied on to come to their positions in the policy that has informed the bill, and that they also produce all the legal opinions that they say that they've received. Because I think it's important that as we proceed next year into the bill, and we know that the policy informs the bill, that we have all of that, so we can actually have a process that is clear and transparent, and we know how they arrived to the bill that they have produced before us, and that is currently for public comment.
Thank you, Honourable MacPherson. Honourable Scalzi.
Chairperson, I just needed to remind the DDG about the question that I've asked regarding to the African context.
Yes. We won't get to respond to that, DDG. Right, Honourable Mkondi.
No, thank you, Chairperson. You have raised, and then I've read it also here, the proposal that is being made around the strengthening of the inspectorate, because I have been worried about this thing.
Yeah.
If you go also to the Department of Labor and other departments, we have a problem in terms of our inspectorate.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to tighten that thing, because they are proposing, even if we can get some people from SARS to come and assist. So it's very important that we deal with the question of the training and also hiring more of the inspectorate. The second one, Chairperson, which I'm very...
Hello.
I like it, because I asked you this question before and no answer came. It's on the definition of the place of transport or place closer to transport. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of an airport.
Mm. Yes.
Well, there's a lot of drinking effort, and then how do you deal with it in this context? So the definition of the place of transport is fundamental. If you go to Cape Town station, there's a lot of liquor places, outlets there, and people are sitting there and they are drinking. So how do we deal with that? So I think that definition
would be drinking in the place.
Yes, and that's in the plane, you see. So it's very important. Also, you spoke, we talk about intergovernmental relations and if we're departmental. The question of the role of the Competition Commission on the question of manufacturing and distribution, which ones must deal with the dominance in the industry, I think it is very important. By the way, I don't think we have differences. But it's emphasis and making sure that we are doing the right thing. No, thank you very much, Elizabeth.
No, thank you. No, it's not often there's a light moment in this committee, but we've had a couple of light moments. I hope it's not, so to speak, in the spirit of things. But anyway, was there another hand up? No. So look, there's one outstanding question. You know, what studies were done, sort of in our own context. We're in Africa, living in Africa, right? And, you know, there was people alluded to this issue of the age here and there, and you said it yourself, in some countries it's 21 and whatever, but in some countries we know it's 16. So can we just get clarity on, say, African situation, Honourable MacPherson's comments and questions there. I do want to make some statements on those requests, but at least respond to them where you can. And all of them now. Thank you, DDG and the team.
No, thanks. The issue of pricing may be leading people to go to the black market as an example.
Yes.
It was well thought of. So is the issue of age.
Yes.
To say age, we took into account the health issues. We are moving to add age because of health issues, as we argued. So we would like to leave the issue there for consideration, to say we came with a justification from another angle.
Sure.
And then cumulatively considered, they may lead to the issue of deterrence,
uh-huh,
of drinking. I think we should leave it there. And
okay.
Yeah, that's all what we can say. The issue of enforcement,
uh-huh,
in particular the U.S., age 21, they will be demanding age verification, as an example. And
where is that in this, what clause is that we said you're going to demand age verification?
It is not. We are saying either jurisdiction like the U.S., comes with the age of 21, and then with them they will even go to an extent of saying, where is your ID, as an example, but we are not there. But we are introducing this issue to say, should we move to that direction, but we are not there to demand ID when people are purchasing liquor.
I think you must. I mean, when do you get an ID? 16?
Sorry.
What page is it on, DDG?
It's on page...
Well, forget the page, what clause?
Okay, she will come with a clause.
Oh, good.
She will come with a clause, no?
Yeah.
So all in all is that the issue of enforcement,
yes,
we talk about the issue of training, the department training, say the police,
being trained by us. Like KZN, it has got 67 inspectorates. And then we said in the policy, those provinces who think they would like extra inspectorate, like from the police, we will train those police in order to compensate the shortfall, as an example. And then the issue again is education and awareness by the DTI.
Definitely.
Yes. So all in all is that we may also have empowering sections in the spirit of the policy in the bill, empowering sections in the bill, and we take it in the regulations as goes the legend. So the policy, as we said, the policy sets the tones. Some of the issues may not need to be legislated. They can be in the spirit of of the direction what the policy is saying. So the issue of the municipalities, the municipalities is another arm of government. We say we should have maybe them coming into the fore into the policy council. As an example, town planning should be considered. COCTA, because COCTA is the mother of the municipalities. As an example, we should move in one direction when they do the issue of bylaws, zoning, all those issues. We are talking to the issue of trying to come with harmonization and enforcement. So they will come with certain paragraphs where we talk about the age 21 and the verification of the age. So, the issue of the benchmarking.
Yes.
We benchmark with the US as an example. We benchmark with, the Japan, that came with another 20 years instead of 21. And then Switzerland, if I'm not mistaken, is 16.
Yes.
But they have a culture that drinking is okay, but as long as there is no abuse, they can deal with that as a nation. But the two countries, Japan and the other Eastern government, is it Kyrgyzstan, if I'm not mistaken, 20, 21, Japan, 21, the U.S., and then Botswana. Botswana was benchmarked in relation to the issue of the fund. They will give you Botswana was benchmarked with in relation to the fund that we are establishing. So that is Botswana. I don't know the situation of Kenya, but generally we benchmark with Kenya. And then there are other countries that are of Muslim Islamic states that we were cautioned not to consider them per se, because those ones are on religious grounds. So it may not be a true reflection. Otherwise, all Islamic states, they don't like drinking. So therefore, they cannot be a good benchmarking for the country. But Botswana was taken into account into that equation. So, Chair, we would like to conclude with the issue of saying your comment on the issue of transport next to the airport. I think
railways, stations.
Our initial position was to say don't allow any drinking place next to the transport earlier, no? Am I right? Yes. And then we move to the situation to say, but now this concentration, the issue of discretion and the enforcement should move together. So let's see how we translate them into the bill, because the policy will say, let it be a light, but as to the enforcement of it and implementation, you need to move to the act as well as to the regulations. That's why we're coming with the issue of the discretion. But drinking and eating and drinking, I think, should be the norm. And then I'm concluding, we will produce research, the research that
thank
we
you
had.
So much.
Thank we'll
you.
Produce that
thank
research.
You.
We will also maybe share the legal opinion on this issue of liability. And then we will find that certain laws already in this parliament as a whole, they are there, but we need to be careful in crafting them so that we should be constitutional. They are already there. They are not tested maybe in court, but they are there. So the issue of inspectorate, we will deal with it and then provide information on how training of inspectorates, enforcement, because we find that the municipalities are moving to that direction with their bylaws. We are moving to this direction, hence the harmonization that we are trying. So it is not our intention to usurp the powers from the provinces and the municipalities. That is not. But it will be discussed through agreement. Then we will move to one direction. And then I hope we have
Someone going to be responding to the African environment. Incidentally, that age issue and the IDs is 4.1.1.24.4, where it says you will ask for, you may ask for an ID document, passport, or driver's license. So it is there. It is there, no, but I think someone hasn't seen it. Right. So that is here, but I think the issue, the question around what studies that have looked at this specifically within the African context.
Thank you, Chair. On the issue of African countries, we engaged with Botswana, particularly initially when we were looking at the issue of the funds that we wanted to create, because they were heading that government-managed fund, so we looked at that issue specifically. So we just looked at Botswana in that regard. Thank you.
But that was the only African country you looked at? Now, I just want to clarify that.
Yes.
All right. Have you finished, DDG? Honourable MacPherson?
I don't want to be the member's spokesperson, but I think what she was actually referring to was what studies were done in respect of alcohol and policy in Africa, and, you know, where is that information? Because, with respect, you keep comparing us, you keep benchmarking us to the United States, and we're not the United States. We're not even nearly developed. We don't have the enforcement of the United States. So why keep, you know, benchmarking us to countries that is not fair?
That's why I'm saying only Botswana, and yet we've got some table here, which the researcher has pulled up, which is purely now listed the drinking ages, etc. But I noticed Botswana's is 18 anyway. But I do think that would have been pertinent to have looked at. Have they looked at alcohol abuse elsewhere in Africa? And how many cars do they have on the road in that particular country? My own experience of Botswana, where I was for 7 years, it's got just about the smallest population in Africa for a country. And when I was there, there seemed to be one road to Francistown. So, you know, I don't know if that was the most suitable country. But anyway, it's a start, but it was directed at the fund, which we haven't really looked at. Okay. So what I would like to suggest, and I think members are really requesting that, is what about, even if you only do, I think the term is a desktop study, you know, where you're able to just check out Kenya, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, you know, and so on. And we do take the point about Muslim countries. Before you go, Dean, there's just one thing you should know. You did give your apology, I understand, but that we are not meeting as a committee on Friday, but as a subcommittee.
Oh, okay.
So just as you would have left by the time we raised that. Thank you. So I think that, I'm just asking you, DDG, do you think that that is perhaps, surely that is pertinent, the desktop study?
No, thanks. We agree. But whilst we agree, we say for a particular point, we need to do the research for that particular point. And then, like the issue of, say, if we say the international organization, like the World Health Organization, that these countries, whether developed or underdeveloped, are a member of that organization. And that that organization pronounces and gives an advice to South Africa on a particular matter, then we close. Thanks. But we agree with the advice.
All right. So members, look, just as a matter of interest, again, I'm sorry the Honourable Macpherson has already left, but we did, this is not the first briefing we've had on policy. That was one of the reasons why we said we've got the subcommittee. Do you remember? We had a gambling and a liquor subcommittee. We had this on the 10th of June, I think it was, 2015. So it's not new. Let's get that clear. And also, it, I would imagine, again, that the points Honourable Macpherson made about the age, etc., not being taken into account with respect to checking, well, it must have been because it's here. So I think that was rather a broad comment on things. But for us, it stands as to our request, and I'm pleased to hear, DDG, that you're only too happy to share this with us, because we're charting new territory in this direction. But the question does remain, well, three at this point. On the one hand, if it comes to the price and the age, and you sort of raise the age too high, raise prices too high, they may go underground or become illegal. We saw that with cigarettes, because you were here, Honourable Mkhongi, when we got an intensive report from SARS, from finance, from the tobacco industry and some other industry, and it made it clear that more cigarettes were being produced now, but some were illegally produced. So it's not true that it's cut down the production of cigarettes. What is true is that it has cut down the production, possibly, of legal cigarettes, which is a slightly different thing. And we may need to study the impact of that after all that comes under us as well, because, as I keep on saying, I've had to have one shut down right opposite of PCO. No, they're all over the place now, little mushrooming all over. So we do have to strike the balance between, should we just produce it anyway? We can budget for the fines. Let's budget for the cost of fines, you see? And then you've got a bigger problem on your hands. So I think that we've got to develop what one would call a culture. A culture which encourages people to drink responsibly. And may I remind members that in Africa, there was a culture of consuming, imbibing responsibly. People didn't go and get drunk on African beer at the drop of a hat. You know, walk down the street or the village drunk. Absolutely not. So it wasn't in the culture. It came into the culture for whatever the reason. And we need to get that back. And the only way we can do that is education and training. And I think we need to do a lot more in the schools. Let's not say they don't drink at primary school, because they do. They do. They're all busy imbibing. So what we've got got to do is get them to understand the dangers. And yes, it is good. It tastes nice. Sure, it does. But what happens if I drink too much? So let's look at that. I didn't hear too much about training and education. Didn't hear too much at all. So I think we need to look at that one. When it comes to those legal aspects, like, I'm just going to say South African breweries, beer being sold, some shebeen where it shouldn't be, how are you going to manage that? How do you know that bottle of beer was delivered by SAB? You know, that kind of thing. And I think those are the little, the tricky things that the department is going to have to unpack and find out from other countries in this particular regard. So I think most members have said they welcome this, but they welcome, if you like, the tenor, where are we going, but there's certain measures that we wish to debate. Is that correct? You still...
Yes.
The spirit has gone down very well. All right, members. DDG?
No problem. Thanks. Thanks for the spirit that prevailed. Let me remind the honorable members that we came here with lotteries. We came here with national head on credit, and then this committee demanded that we are not good at education and awareness, and then let's put this into all our legislation, and then we put it on the area of lotteries, and then we are in all provinces together with the agency concerned educating people on how to do application, all those issues, and then even National Credit Act, we did that.
No.
The Companies Act, we did that.
Uh-huh.
Now also in the bill, if you look at the bill,
uh-huh,
you'll find that education and awareness is obligatory now.
Right.
So how are we unveiling it in those legislation that are already there? We are doing that. In this one, we have education and awareness even before it is legislated. We are moving in all provinces. It may be confusing that there is consultation and education and awareness at the same time, but I think the dust will settle. But we wanted to have directors of education and awareness from the policy side,
uh-huh,
but with these constraints is another issue, but it is taking place. We can be monitored in that regard, Chairperson. I just wanted to single out that area. Yeah. So that's all what we can say, but thanks for food
very
for
much,
thought.
Really, thank you. We do appreciate you being here with us today. I know that we're just at the beginning of this journey, and we've really got to get it right this time, because we're not just going to amend it again, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time. We want something that takes cognizance of the reality of these developing cities, urban areas, the reality we still left with townships, you know, etc., and many other things. And we want, I think, the department to work with us and share their innovative thinking in this regard. We need to think out there, out of the box. I don't know if we'd be able to stop robots from drinking. I mean, I don't know. You know, they say robots are invading us or something. But here we are. Yeah, the workplace. Go to Japan. Anyway, members, we had 2 letters from the minister copied to us, which were sent to the speaker. But I do want to thank you, DDG Nyatsi Tenzi, and it's Mrs. Makaipa, and now where's my list again? Ramahudan, I think it's... Yes, that's it, right. But here we are. when the one letter said both signed on the 27th of October, the report of the Portfolio Committee on Trade of Trade and Industry on the colloquium of local public procurement and its linkages to the industrialization drive, dated the 13th of October. The committee's report, which was published in the ATC on the 17th of October 2016, has reference. I've noted the contents of the report, and I wish to thank the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry for this report. The department will, in consultation with the relevant ministries, address the recommendations outlined in the report. So that's very positive, that one. Then we have a budgetary review, also a letter addressed to the speaker, budgetary review and recommendation report of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, dated the 21st October 2016. Mentioning when it was published. Recommendation 8.1 is noted and will be discussed as part of the DTI strategic planning process that is currently underway, with recommendations to, with regards to recommendation 8.2, the department will, in consultation with National Treasury, discuss additional funding for the National Consumer Commission. And I think that those are two very important letters telling us they take note of our recommendations and they will advance them and implement them. I also want to indicate to the committee that we will not, as a committee, be meeting on Friday, because the subcommittee on is that the debt, we're calling it debt relief, will be meeting. This will be the first meeting of that subcommittee. That subcommittee will be meeting, it is the Honourable Hill Lewis from the DA, the Honourable Williams from the ANC, the Honourable Mantash from also from here. But I wonder, just in her absence there this week, because she has this compassionate leave, if perhaps either yourself, Honourable Mkongi, or the Honourable von Skalkwyk will attend, please. That's the Friday meeting. I take it that will be 9 o'clock, actually, on Friday, till 10:30. Just a minute. Yes. I know it was 8:30, and then the Honourable Williams requested, could we make it 9 o'clock? Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, I made that request when the meeting was on, you know, it was on a Tuesday, yes. So Friday at 8:30 is fine.
Okay. So 8:30 is fine. So we do know we've got the Honourable Hill Lewis. Another party member should also be there from another party. We've asked them to send someone, but we can't delay. So will you go, Honourable Mkongi, or you'll go? You can both go, as a matter of fact, but seen as, I think, Honourable von Skalkwyk, you are so new that you, the more you get involved, the better to learn what this is about. All right. So it will be held where, just show me, it is, I don't think you need, no, that's this Friday, but you're not going to hold it in E249. Of course you don't need such an enormous hall just for the four of you. So I'm going to ask Mr. Medina if you will find a room on the E block side and inform you. So you know what it's about. It's the debt relief. It's the subcommittee. You will be briefed by the parliamentary head of that section and division, Advocate van der Merwe, who's going to explain the processes and some of the challenges, and you're going to work towards the memorandum. All right. That's the first meeting. The head of that subcommittee is the Honourable Williams, for your sins. All right. Now, that's the one issue there. We've done the two letters. Is there say anything else? When is the beatable R going to the house? I mean, to what do you call the extended engagement? Do we not have the date yet? We're getting that date now for you. Because that surely will be happening in the next week or two. Now, while we're just waiting for that date to come up, with respect to our the processes with the debt relief, it's a committee bill, debt forgiveness, debt for a relief. And I want to remind members, we're not dealing with the powers, etc. We are trying to ring fence this into one item. It is our intention in the committee to ask the minister and the department that once we've done that, because it's that much easier to get that kind of bill through, you see, just a short bill, we would really welcome the ministry itself undertaking more expanded legislation in that regard. But right now, we'll only have now and until May next year to complete this. And given that you're going to need to work hand in hand with the National Council of Provinces, it's not going to be an easy process. So I think I'm mentioning that also for your benefit, DDG. Parliament was not yet ready with everything, and we don't want to have one mistake, you know, because right now we've got new rules, etc., and we want to ensure. And there we are, just so that we all know, Ms. Naidu very kindly got this up for me. The BRRR will be the 8th of November, a Tuesday, and it will be in, well, never mind, I can't read it. But there we are, National Assembly, it looks like the BRRR process, the 8th is next week, isn't it? Next Tuesday. All right, just so that you're aware of it. But I want to thank you, Mr. Nyesi Tenzi, DDG, for all the work you've put into not only the gambling, the liquor, the what else, lotteries, and which reminds me, when do they need a new board? Isn't that coming up? Yeah. Yes, I don't want to be informed of this when at Christmas. When is this, the deadline is coming up? Yeah. When is it?
No, Mrs. Scholz will provide information, but we work together. She will coordinate, but it's through Mrs. Scholz. Thanks.
Right. Because I imagine all South Africans now playing the lottery, are you not?
No.
Gambling. Well, it's a different form of gambling.
How many of you put money in the church plate? Anyway. Honourable members, you know, it's what do you call that form of gambling, Honourable Ernest and Yetsi Tenzi? The national lotteries.
Yeah, the lotteries is also a gambling. It is in South Africa where we separated them, but it's gambling.
Yeah, but I mean, what it's got a name for that form, where you actually do it for social purposes. Anyway, I'm the one who read that up here.
Okay. We need to close the meeting.
The meeting is adjourned until next